years ago, I was running in a paradisical inferno known as the Cayman Islands and trying to take my mind off the incredible oppressive heat. I focused upon a tree sticking out on a promontory of rock, a tall, strong tree, and I was astounded to think about how that tree must have been able to stand through all the assaults and assailings of hurricanes and wind and fierce rain. And as I neared the tree, I noticed that construction workers had cut away a part of the volcanic rock, and I was able to see how that tree's roots had grown down deep into that rock, and it indeed was embedded in that volcanic rock so deep. And I realized why that tree could withstand every hurricane. Its roots were so strong, embedded so deep in that volcanic rock. A tree was going nowhere. But as I studied the tree on subsequent days, as I would run by it, I realized it possessed another quality, a quality I hadn't noticed at first. Not only were its roots deep, but its trunk was flexible, supple. It seemed to be sort of a pine tree, and yet it was so strong. It could bend with the constant, ceaseless breeze. And I realized the tree's strength was found in its paradoxical nature. Its roots were deep. Its roots were strong, but its trunk was flexible and supple, able to accommodate the ceaseless wind. My metaphorical mind could not help but think, here is a symbol of the church. Here is why Christianity has been able to adapt itself to every culture in every age. Our roots are deep. Deep in the solid rock of Jesus Christ, entrenched in that unshakable foundation. And yet Christianity has proved itself to be amazingly supple and flexible and adaptive to the winds of changing circumstance. I couldn't help but think of the early church. The early church, rooted and grounded in the great truth, Jesus Christ had given himself to us, died for our sins, and reflected the resurrection glory of God. But I thought of the early church that thought the plan was to evangelize fellow Jews, only to find out that it was not the Jews who were accepting the gospel, but Gentiles whom they believed to be profane. The early church adapted to this new situation. They ignored cultural, even biblical taboos. They embraced a people they had regarded as unclean and brought them in as brothers and sisters in Christ. I think of the gospel writer John trying to convey to the world the meaning of Jesus and stole a philosophical concept from the contemporary philosophers of that time to use to express the truth. In the beginning was the Logos. The Logos. The Word. The divine reason. The divine act. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. By stealing a concept from contemporary philosophy, John was able to express eternal truth in a way that his audience could understand. Grounded, rooted in the bedrock of Christ, but drawing flexibly and creatively from the culture around them. That's how the Christian church became a world faith. on this Communion Sunday, this World Communion Sunday, it is astounding to think that in every culture, in every language, in every boundary place, people are saying the same truths that we're saying. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. A meal first celebrated in the scene of a Passover, a Jewish Passover Seder. And then soon adapted to the catacombs of Rome in intinction communion like we do on Christmas Eve and Maundy Thursday. A meal celebrated in rude African huts in the bush and in great cathedrals and sophisticated cities. A meal celebrated in a variety of diverse ways, but holding to the same bedrock truth. While we were yet sinners, our Christ died for us. And our God invites us into relationship. May we learn from the early church, even as we celebrate across our world, across our earth, God's eternal truth. Let us be rooted and grounded in the bedrock of Jesus Christ. But let us be creative and flexible and supple as a body of God, that we might speak the eternal word in a language our world can understand. The Apostle Paul wrote to his friends, "What I received from the Lord, I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you.' In the same way, also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' And as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." I invite you to partake of the Lord's table. I remind you, it's not Dr. Krimmer's table. It's not even the table of Vineville Baptist Church. It is the table prepared for us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone and everyone who would claim Christ as Savior. Anyone and everyone who would claim Christ as Savior is invited to partake of this family meal. As you've heard read in the scriptures, our Lord, trying to convey to his friends the meaning of the violence that was about to happen to him, took the common element of the bread and he broke it. And then... he said to them, "What happens to this bread happens to my body. But it's broken for you." And in the shadow of that violent image, he gave thanks. God of love, God of love, who sent your Son to us as an expression of love, as an agent of reconciliation, You allowed yourself to be broken on our behalf. And we know that you are there for us in our brokenness. There is no anguish you do not know. There is no suffering you have not felt. There is no heartbreak that you have not shared. And so we can come to you in our brokenness, grateful that you love us, and grateful that we can serve, strengthened by this symbol of your power. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.